Heal Thyself, Using a Holistic Approach with Dr. Eric Madrid.
Hey guys, Dr. Madrid here. I'm going to share with you my experience of being on the ketogenic diet. I'm going to share my story and how it's worked out for me and what I've been able to accomplish and what I've learned over the last 9 months. So back in June of 2018, I had reached one of my higher weights. I'm 6 feet, 3 inches tall. And in June of 2018, I had reached a weight of 247 pounds. This was a weight that I had not been at since I was in medical school. And I wasn't feeling good about myself in the sense that I was tired, my energy level was down. I would come home from work wanting to go to sleep earlier than I had in the past when I was thinner. And so the first week of June, I decided I needed to do something about it and that I was going to go start jogging. I used to run cross country in high school, so jogging and running was something that I could easily get back into. And I go running, put on my running shoes and my, you know, shorts and start running. And, you know, before I even exit my neighborhood, I started developing some left knee pain. And I'd never hurt my left knee in the past, or any knee for that matter. And so at that point, I realized that I was essentially just too heavy to exercise, too fat to exercise. And at that point, I had made a resolution to spend 90 days or 100 days and focusing purely on my diet, and I would hold off from any exercise. And again, I was snoring more at night when I would sleep. I was waking up with headaches. I was waking up tired. My wife had suggested that I go have a sleep study. When I complained to her that my knee started hurting, she recommended that I go get an x-ray and get my knee checked out. And I, of course, like a husband does, I decided not to do that. And right. And even as a physician, you would think, you know, we're sometimes the worst patients. But at that point, I knew intuitively what my problem was. I needed to get the weight down. And I knew that once I got the weight down, that a lot of these problems would improve and a lot of my symptoms would go away. So again, I dedicated 90 to 100 days of only focusing on my diet. So meanwhile, I had read a book by Dr. Jason Fung called The Obesity Code a few months prior. He talked about intermittent fasting and the ketogenic diet. To me, it sounded something similar to the Atkins diet, which many people kind of mistook as a high protein diet, when in reality it was a high fat diet. But anyway, so I had kind of familiarized myself with this ketogenic diet and intermittent fasting. As a matter of fact, I had a patient who probably 3-4 years ago was telling me about intermittent fasting and the latest research at that time and how he was doing it, and it really helped him to get his weight down. He was feeling great, had more energy. And at that point, I thought he was crazy. I didn't want to hear anything about it. So I, you know, kind of went over deaf ears. So I started in June doing what they call a 12-12 plan. So basically I would fast for 12 hours, right? 8 of those, which I was sleeping, so it wasn't that big of a deal. And I would eat my meals in a 12-hour window. So I'd eat between, let's say, 7 and 7, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And this really had the effect of making sure that I did not have a snack before bedtime, right? No bowl of ice cream, no cookies, no spoonful of peanut butter even, and no cereal or anything of that sort. So I would eat all my meals between 7 a.m., 7 p.m., and at that point, I was still eating 3 meals a day. And when I would eat, I would make sure it was basically a low-carb diet. So breakfast would include eggs, avocado, maybe some bacon, either pork or turkey bacon. For lunch, I would have a salad frequently, maybe a protein shake. I would, near my office, there's a Panera, Subway, so I would frequently get one of their salads for lunch. And then dinner would be usually, again, sauteed vegetables. I would use coconut oil to saute them. I would steam broccoli, sauteed Brussels sprouts. I would add butter to my broccoli, and then also a meat source. So again, that would be maybe some chicken, or some grass-fed hormone-free beef, which again, I recommend if you're gonna be eating beef to do the grass-fed hormone-free. And you know, just a lot of vegetables. So now 2 days a week, so 5 days a week, I would do the 12-12 plan. 2 days a week, I would do what's called a 16-8. So I would fast for 16 hours and eat in a 8 hour window. So again, I would have my first snack. I would forgo breakfast and I would eat something at about 10 a.m., maybe a snack or a protein bar and a low carb protein bar. And then at lunch, I would eat my lunch, and then dinner, I would be done by 6 o'clock. So again, 2 days a week, I would do the 18-6 plan, and then 5 days a week, I did a 12-12 plan. And remember, I did not exercise during the first 90 days, the first 100 days. I would go for evening walks, but nothing out of the ordinary. I definitely did not break a sweat. And in 90 days, by the beginning of September, I got my weight down from 247 pounds to 217 pounds. So I lost 30 pounds with no exercise. And so this proved to me that intermittent fasting and a ketogenic diet could be helpful. And I was feeling great. My knee stopped hurting. My energy level was great. I was no longer snoring. I was able to stay awake later at night before I'd go to bed and wake up with refreshed and a lot more energy. So now in September, around mid-September, I went on a medical mission trip to the Philippines. And for those 2 weeks, for obvious reasons, I realized that I couldn't practically do a ketogenic diet while there. So I simply just ate a lot of the regular food and, you know, native diet. I would eat rice and a lot of fruits and a lot of vegetables and meat sources and so on, and fried foods as well. So I didn't want to impose upon the people that we were staying with and trying to have them accommodate me. So I was in the Philippines for 2 weeks, went back to a regular diet, and I put on 3 pounds. So when I came back to the United States at the end of September, I was 220 pounds, and which I expected. But I was motivated to restart my ketogenic diet and intermittent fasting. So with that being said, the beginning of October is when I decided to start going to the gym, started exercising, and basically I made a decision to go to the gym 3 times a week, and I would work out anywhere between 45 minutes to 1 hour. I would do a whole body workout and primarily lifting weights, and I would do so Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I was quite consistent with this. I also changed my work schedule around as well, and this is to illustrate the important part that stress will have in one's weight loss goals. And prior, I was working 4 days a week, but I would work very long hours, frequently 12-hour days, and I found that this was just harder for me to do. I was more exhausted, and I think what was happening is my cortisol level was high. Cortisol is the stress hormone that we all make. So I think for 4 days a week, my body's stress hormone was super high. And this was also part of the weight gain that I had put on over the last 3 to 4 years. Prior to all this, I kept my weight at around 225 to 220 to 230. And I felt pretty good there. Although my body mass index was still in the overweight category. My ideal weight is about 200 pounds, actually, if I base it on a body mass index. So anyway, so in October, I changed my work schedule around. Instead of working 4 long days, I was, again, working 5 days, but I would finish up my day earlier, which would allow me to go to the gym and have a few extra hours each day to decompress and to focus on myself. So this was also a very important part of my success. And in October, again, I started the intermittent fasting, again, still doing a ketogenic diet. And at this point, I decided to be a little bit more aggressive, and I went to a primarily 18-6 plan. So what that means is I would eat I would fast for an 18-hour window and eat my meals within a 6-hour window. So I would eat my meals between 12 noon and 6 p.m., and the rest of that time during my fasting period, I would drink water, I would consume coffee or tea, and that was it. For those wondering, yes, I would add stevia to my tea, and for creamer, I would use either heavy whipping cream Or sometimes actually what's called a bulletproof coffee. So I would add a medium chain triglycerides, MCTs, and even some butter, believe it or not. That's called a bulletproof coffee. And remember, this is, the keto diet is a high fat diet. So the high fat content actually helps to suppress one's appetite. So anyway, I would eat between 12 and 6, probably at least 5 days a week. And 1 or 2 days a week, I would do what's called OMAD, one meal a day. So on those days, I would literally fast for 23 hours and eat one meal per day. And so I would eat between, let's say, 5 and 6 or 6 and 7. And one thing I realized is that if I kept my diet irregular, this was crucial for my success. So I started thinking and realizing and, you know, learning more about this. And when we think about human history and human evolution, human adaption, and I'm not talking, millions of years ago. I'm simply referring back 100, 200, 500, a few thousand years ago. One thing that was always consistent about human history, our food sources were not consistent. And our ancestors were never guaranteed 3 square meals a day, right? If they did, it was a luxury. And they were wealthy or a royalty if they did have 3 meals per day. So for the most part, our ancestors had to work very hard for the calories that they consumed. If they were farmers, they would spend and burn thousands of calories just so they could eat a few thousand calories. If they were hunters or gatherers, they would run and, you know, some interval training, perhaps. They would go run a few miles or 5, 10, 15 miles, perhaps, to hunt and track down food and bring that food back. So a lot of energy was expended in order to find our food sources. Today, we don't need to spend much energy at all, right? We could simply go on to our smartphone, order something from online, from Amazon, have it delivered to our front door. We can get into our car, go to the shopping market or to the supermarket, buy our food, put it in our refrigerator and freezer. And literally, we can have a 2 week, 3 week supply of food and eat 3, 4, 5 times a day with very minimal energy expenditure. And this is one of the reasons I believe that we have put on so much weight as a society, as a culture. So a couple myths here that we need to deconstruct. Number one is 3 meals a day is not necessary. And number two is breakfast is not the most important meal of the day. So get that out of your belief system and realize that humans were really designed to fast. We were designed to intermittently fast. We were designed to fast for 2 days, 3 days, and in some cases even longer, and survive as a species. So the hunger pangs that many of us will feel when we give up breakfast, for example, your stomach starts to growl and we think, hey, I'm starving, I need to eat. Really, this is nothing more than a Pavlovian response, right? Where our stomach is growling only for the pure simple reason that we've eaten breakfast every day for the last 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. So our stomach is expecting something to be inside of it at 8 o'clock in the morning. And so our digestive enzymes actually start being released, start preparing themselves. The digestive process starts to initiate itself before we've even eaten, simply because our body is expecting us to eat. So that's not true hunger. And you have to kind of just push yourself through that, push yourself through those hunger pangs, as they call it. And if you get to a point where you're feeling dizzy, lightheaded, blood sugar's going low, then by all means, eat something. But you'll find each time you're able to push that that first meal back more and more, and it will become easier to get to a 16-8 or 18-6 meal plan, or even a 23-1. So again, those numbers refer to the fasting hours and the eating hours. So 16 hours of fasting, 8 hours meals, etc. I realized when I would plateau, I would change my diet around more. I would do the 18-6. I would still perhaps a couple days a week do a 12-12 program, and this would help my weight loss to continue. And again, if there's anything consistent about human history is that our meals were always inconsistent. So I realized this is probably the way that I need to eat, that a lot of my patients probably need to eat, is we need to be inconsistent with our meal times. And this keeps our body's metabolism going. It keeps our body guessing and helps to optimize fat burning. And again, by doing a ketogenic diet, really, I'm eating a lot of nuts, a lot of seeds, I go ahead and use medium chain triglycerides, which for some people might cause a little bit of bloating. If that's the case, go ahead and introduce them slowly. I eat a lot of avocados. I'll go ahead and eat eggs. I'll eat butter and saturated fats. For the last couple decades, there was a lot of concern about saturated fats and the risk on heart disease. And there's a lot of data suggesting that saturated fats, such as those found in butter and dairy and cheeses and even meats, may not be as bad as we once thought they were. However, I think in reality, a lot of it comes down to moderation. So again, a ketogenic diet is not a high protein diet. It's not the kind of diet where one should simply consume a pound of bacon, a pound of beef, and a dozen eggs every day. That's not healthy. Vegetable intake needs to be high. A lot of green leafy vegetables need to be high. The fruit intake also needs to is important from an antioxidant perspective, but a lot of the sugars, a lot of the fruits have high sugar content. So when you're strictly on a ketogenic diet, I would recommend that you your fruit intake consist of avocados, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, and some strawberries, limiting the berries to less than a cup per day. Apples, bananas, oranges, mangoes are not recommended on the ketogenic diet due to the higher sugar content. However, once you reach your goal, you can go ahead and consume these, right? It's all about moderation and so on. So, have I consumed an apple in the last 6 months? Absolutely. Have I had banana? Absolutely, right? But again, it's all in moderation. And when I do that, my body's able to burn through that sugar a lot quicker because I'm not eating a diet high in sugar anymore. I'm not eating a diet high in carbohydrates. I'm not eating rice. I'm not eating pasta. I'm not eating bread, right? And so these are some of the things that I've been able to do. And today is February 13th, 2019. I'm currently down to 201 pounds. So I'm actually down a total of 46 pounds on this scale. But I've also estimated that I've put on maybe about 15 pounds of muscle because I've been working out now for about 4.5 months. And so in reality, I'm down close to 60 pounds of fat, right? Which to me is hard to believe because I really did not think that I had that much fat on me. And I will go ahead, you can see the before and after picture here. I did not think I had that much fat on me, but obviously I was wrong. I'm actually starting to feel more muscle and I'm feeling better. My energy level is better. I actually feel like I'm about 20 years younger and I've been able to run without any knee pain. I wake up, I have a ton of energy and it's been very, very satisfying. In the meanwhile, I've had a lot of patients that we have recommended who've come in and see all the weight that I've lost over the last 8 months and they've been inspired, which is further motivation for me to continue to do this. And so I've had many patients improve. I've had patients, one gentleman, 71-year-old diabetic, was able to get off of his insulin after 5 years. I had another lady with fatty liver who after 2 months saw not only a 15-pound weight loss, but saw her liver enzymes improve significantly. She was feeling better. She had a lot more energy. Also, her triglyceride levels, which are the fats in the blood, went from a very high level of 815 down to 149, which is in the normal range. All this with a ketogenic diet. I had another gentleman, 46 years of age, who last July came in to see me. He was newly diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. His fasting blood sugar was 318. He was about 40, 45 pounds overweight. At that point, we had a discussion about the importance of diet, making some dietary changes. I told him in either case, we needed to start him at least on metformin, which is a diabetic medication. I did tell him that guidelines, because his blood sugar was so high, guidelines actually recommended he go on insulin, but that if he was motivated to make some dietary changes and start a low carb diet and intermittent fasting, that we could go ahead and forgo the insulin and just start the metformin. And he was okay with doing that. So we went ahead and started him on metformin, and we ordered some labs. His hemoglobin A1C, which is a 3-month average of how blood sugar is, was 12.3, which basically tells me that for the last 3 months prior to his diagnosis, his blood sugar was averaging above the 300s. And so he started making some changes. I told him I wanted him to follow up with me in 2 months. I repeated a blood test. His hemoglobin A1C went down to 6.3, which is actually now in the pre-diabetic range. So within 60 days, this gentleman not only lost 20 pounds, but was able to get his blood sugar from a diabetic range to a pre-diabetic range. Now, granted, he was on metformin, but any healthcare provider would know that metformin would only bring one's blood sugar down slightly, their A1C down maybe 1 point, maybe 2 points at the most. This guy's hemoglobin A1C went down 6 points from 12.3 to 6.3, and his blood sugars were now in the average level. So he was extremely excited and continued to do the diet. I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and he's now in a normal range. His blood sugar, fasting blood sugar was 99, and his hemoglobin A1C was 5.3, indicating that he's no longer a diabetic, at least for all practical purposes. He didn't want to continue the medication, so we reduced it to one pill a day, and we will continue to monitor him and check his blood sugar again in about 3 or 4 months. He's down an additional 20 pounds, so in total, he's down 40, 45 pounds. He's feeling great. He states that he feels like he's 25 again in the sense that his energy levels are increased. His mental clarity is back. He wakes up with a lot of energy. He was also able to discontinue his CPAP machine, right? Because he had sleep apnea as well. So this was another benefit. He's no longer has sleep apnea and has been able to get off the machine for the first time in over a decade. So again, this ketogenic diet and intermittent fasting lifestyle can be life-changing for many, many patients. I've had many other stories of patients getting off of cholesterol medicines, reducing diabetic medications, getting their weight down, and even getting off of their being able to discontinue their use of their CPAP machine for sleep apnea. And it's been very rewarding to me as a physician, because now almost weekly I'm seeing this happen. And I have medical students who rotate with me, and I think it's something that they're excited about, because for the first time they're actually seeing disease process reverse itself, which again is not something that we are taught while we are in medical school. I think it's been real important as well for not only myself to continue to educate myself regarding health and nutrition, but also to encourage my patients to really put nutrition and health at the forefront of their mind. A lot of us, we invest in our retirement, perhaps you invest in a 401k, we invest in other things in our life, but rarely do we invest in health. And health is not something that just passively falls upon us. It's something that we actively have to work on. It's something that we have to go and study every day, something that we have to learn about. It's kind of like spiritual health as well, right? If a person wanted to optimize their spiritual health or their religious conviction, right? You don't simply go to the temple, to your church or to your mosque once and then say, hey, I've gone to my religious institution once and I'm set for life. We have to constantly read about our faith. We have to constantly go and participate in social interactions with those of like mind in order to build and grow ourselves spiritually. And exercise and our health is that same way. We have to constantly think about health. It's not simply the absence of disease. We have to constantly learn about it. We have to read about it. We have to go for walks with friends and family. We have to get our circulation going. And this is really how we're going to ultimately solve this healthcare crisis. There's new research coming out all the time, and we constantly need to make sure that we're filling up our mind with that information. You don't have to be a doctor to learn all this, right? A lot of the stuff that I've learned from patients. As a matter of fact, the doctor is probably the last person you want to go to when it comes to nutritional advice. Right. I think medical schools are getting a little bit better nowadays. But when I was in medical school back in the late 90s, we literally were given one course on nutrition, very limited, maybe 6 to 12 hours total. And really, it was just discussing the minimum daily allowances or requirements in order to prevent things like scurvy and rickets. There was little discussion on the benefits of certain food styles, of certain ways of eating. Now, one of the things that a lot of people are concerned about is if they're vegetarian, Can they still do a ketogenic diet? And the answer is yes, right? So remember, it's a high fat, moderate protein, low carb diet. So there's a lot of vegetarians out there who don't, let's be honest, don't eat healthy, right? A lot of vegetarians out there who can eat a lot of chips, can eat a lot of pasta, eat a lot of refined simple carbohydrates, and simply because it's not meat, they think they're doing good. So you can absolutely do a ketogenic diet being a vegetarian. Simply make sure you're eating a lot of vegetables, a lot of green leafy vegetables. Again, the fruits, as we discussed, eat a lot of avocados, a lot of nuts, and a lot of seeds, and so on. So this is something that can definitely be done. And again, is this something I'm going to do for the rest of my life? I don't know. I feel great. I'm in it for 8 months right now. And I don't see any reason why not. It doesn't mean that I don't have slip ups, right? There's, you know, or cheat days, as they would call them. So once you get to the weight that you want to get to, you know, go ahead and have those cheat days, right? If it's a family wedding or perhaps someone's birthday party, go and enjoy that pizza. Enjoy that, you know, the beer or whatever it is that you drink. You know, enjoy a soda once in a while. Enjoy, you know, the birthday cake or the wedding cake. I think those are very important things to participate in. And then you can simply restart your food, you know, diet the next day and start eliminate, stop, you know, and then eliminate the things that you shouldn't be eating. But I think, again, it's been real important to have those cheat days and to make sure that I'm not that person at that family get together that just sitting in the corner eating salad and nuts and seeds and avoiding everything else. So definitely you can do that. But again, it all comes down to moderation and not doing anything in excess. So again, I've, you know, also another thing that I've learned through this intermittent fasting is I've actually gone on longer fasting protocols. So I'm currently in the middle of a 3-day fast. So tonight will be 72 hours since I've had a meal, and I've simply been sustaining myself on water and black coffee, and that is it. And actually, I feel great. I have a lot of energy, and I, you know, my plan is to do this maybe once or twice a month, and it's a great way just to kind of reset the body's immune system to help improve energy. Also helps to optimize the digestive process, gives my digestive process a break. There's also something that happens when one starts fasting, even as little as 18 hours of a fast, our body starts to undergo a process called autophagy. Autophagy is self-eating, so auto is self and phagy is the word for eating. So autophagy is where the body starts to eat itself. Now, I'm not talking about in a dangerous way, right? My body's not breaking down. It's not eating the protein. It's not, you know, digesting its own brain cells. But what my body's doing is my cells, the damaged cells, the old cells, the weaker cells are basically being broken down by my body, and the parts are being reused and recycled for the construction of new, healthier cells. And it's believed that this process can help prevent cancers, help reduce inflammation and autoimmune diseases, and so on. So we'll talk about autophagy in another video, but this is again one of the things that I've been able to do over the last 8 months. This is actually the second time I've done a 3-day fast, and the first time I felt great. My energy level was great. I'll be honest, 8 months ago I did not think I could even go skip a meal, nonetheless 3 days. So anyway, I just wanted to share my story with you. Hopefully you find this information helpful, and consider intermittent fasting as first part of this protocol, and then the ketogenic diet as a second part. Even if you choose not to do a ketogenic diet, I would strongly recommend you consider the intermittent fasting. That alone would have a lot of health benefits and simply help you feel better and help you to get your weight down. If you want to follow me on social media, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search Eric Madrid MD. Also, make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel and watch the other videos that we have. I think you might find the information useful and definitely out of the box. Thank you and have a blessed day.